It's great to be here, and it's a privilege to bring God's Word. If you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. Stick around afterwards and have a chat. Summer is finally here. We are starting a new summer series this morning. That's going to run right through the summer on the parables of Jesus. We're going to call it The Secrets of the Kingdom. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Everyone loves a good story, don't they? Perhaps bedtime stories that spark imagination, or perhaps you're thinking about that holiday read that you can get, that you can escape into. Stories stick with us, don't they? Well, I hope this summer the stories that Jesus told will have that effect on us. We might spend half an hour listening to a sermon on a Sunday, but I encourage you to chew over these parables you hear throughout the week. Like hard-boiled sweets roll around in your mouth, turn these stories over in your mind. Explore the characters and the scenes these stories create. Marvel at the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that are uncovered by these parables. So what was the context to this parable, this first parable that Jesus told? Where was Jesus and who was he talking to? Well, look at verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables. The parable of the sower is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. And here in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has been announcing the kingdom of heaven has come. He has been performing miracles and gaining recognition. And in chapters 8 to 10 before this, we have a record of lots of different people's response to Jesus' kingdom. And it's a mixed bag of responses. Some people had faith in him, and they were healed, and they followed him. Some people were unconvinced, but they still wanted to see the miracles and the spectacle. And some, like the Pharisees, they openly rejected him altogether. There was a range of different responses to the kingdom of heaven proclaimed by Jesus. And here in chapter 13, Jesus actually focuses in on the different reactions to himself. He tells a series of parables which describe the different responses to hearing God's word. And this parable itself would have been very simple and familiar to the people who lived in that first century agricultural-based community. Jesus uses an everyday, down-to-earth example of setting crops. The ground is prepared, the weather's grand, the farmer heads out in the equivalent of his massey with a spreader on the back, and he does his thing. On the face of it, this parable simply describes ordinary scattering of seed to plant crops. But the focus of the story is about where the scattered seed happens to land. What are the different kinds of ground the seed lands on? The hard pathway at the edge of the field. There was no sprouting or growth at all because the crows were out in force. The shallow, rocky ground that would have been common around the slopes surrounding the lake. There was a bit of growth, but the dry weather and the hot sun wither the shoots that don't have enough depth to survive. Some patches of the field are constantly growing weeds and gorse. The seed that lands in those patches don't have a chance of maturing into a head of grain. But happily, the seed that lands on good, dark topsoil has the result the farmer was after. The seeds shoot, the roots go down deep, and it grows up tall. And in time, that seed of grain will produce a head. It will ripen, and a harvest of many more grains will come from that single seed. All of this would have been clear to the crowd of people who first heard Jesus tell this parable. So what's remarkable about this story, about something mundane as planting crops? Why did Jesus tell this parable? What does it mean for us? Well, let's read on. Jesus' disciples ask the same question. Verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand." And skipping forward to verse 34, Jesus finishes this series with, "Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.'" A large crowd was listening to Jesus by the lake that day. Lots of different kinds of people with lots of different responses to Jesus' teaching. The shocking thing about the parables is that Jesus himself divides his audience into two groups. He says to his disciples in private, away from the crowd, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Jesus seems to be intentionally withholding knowledge from the majority of the people listening. That's not what I expect from Jesus. That sounds too exclusive. But it gets worse. Look at verse 12. "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." This seems shocking to our way of thinking, and surely to the disciples also. Jesus had been inclusive of the poor and the outcast, healing the needy and associating with even tax collectors and sinners. Why does Jesus not let everyone in on the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? Why does he conceal the deeper truths in his teaching behind everyday stories about farming and home life? And then Jesus turns the knife still further. His next words about this excluded group of hearers is shattering. Look at verse 14. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." But then he says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Jesus makes a distinction between the various people listening to his teaching. On what basis does he separate people? He cries out to the crowd in verse 9, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." Whoever. But about those deaf to his teaching, he says in verse 13, "Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." But to his disciples, he said, "But blessed are your ears because they hear." It's on the basis of their hearing, their listening, and their understanding. This is not on the basis of intelligence or attentiveness. Look at what Isaiah prophesied about Jesus' hearers. "This people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Jesus is talking here about people's willingness to receive and accept his teaching. And I want to show you that Jesus' everyday stories hide or conceal a deeper meaning to those unwilling to accept it. And the parables also make these hidden truths even clearer to those who do accept Jesus and his kingship and his teaching as the Word of God. The parables hide secrets from those unwilling to accept Jesus and bring deeper meaning to those who do accept him. That's what stories do, don't they? They convey a deeper meaning. Deeper even than a direct instruction sometimes. Let's think about a story, like the story of the boy who cried wolf. The boy tending the sheep ran to the village crying wolf when there was no wolf. Then when the wolf really appeared, the villagers had lost trust in the boy's cries and his sheep were eaten by the wolf, and I think he was as well. Now, that story has a message, doesn't it? And that message is heard more clearly, more deeply, than if I just said, "You should tell the truth." This does not have, saying that you should tell the truth, doesn't have the same penetrating impact as the story of what happened to the boy who did not tell the truth. The story draws people in to engage with the message in a way that a moral instruction doesn't. But parables are more than just stories with a good moral. The word parable literally means something set beside or parallel alongside the truth. It's there to reinforce the truth. And there's a good example of a parable and this effect that a parable has in the Old Testament. When King David had committed adultery and murder, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront him. Well, Nathan didn't go in all guns blazing with a moral argument about how evil David had acted. That would have just got his defenses up, wouldn't it? Nathan came to him with a story, a parable, about a rich man who took advantage of a poor man and stole and killed his only lamb. Well, David's blood boiled with the injustice of this story. And then Nathan hit him with a crushing reality. You are that man. The parable got through to David in a way that direct confrontation could not. And Jesus used everyday stories to fly under the radar of his hearers' moral defenses. Jesus' parables speak to us on two levels. On a surface level, superficial, it's an everyday story that's familiar to everyone. But there is also a deeper level, a hidden meaning that conveys truths about the kingdom of heaven. Age-old secrets hidden since the creation of the world, foretold long ago, foretold and longed for throughout the Old Testament. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this summer through this preaching series. We're going to follow some of the parables in Matthew and Luke, revealing the hidden aspects of the kingdom of heaven in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is a dangerous part of the Bible to listen to. Hear Jesus' warning in verse 12, "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them." How do you listen to the message of Jesus' parables? Well, how you listen will determine whether he will give you more revelation about the kingdom of heaven. And this is the key to understanding the parable of the sower, or should I say the parable of the different types of soil. So let's read on to Jesus' explanation of the meaning of this parable. But as I read this, I want you to think about the Bible's message as the seed scattered to all who hear it. And as your heart, as one of the types of soil that it lands on. Let's go to verse 18 of Matthew 13. Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." This parable is simply a description of different responses to God's word. For many people that day, they heard the story about planting crops, but they didn't understand that the different types of soil and the different types of ground represented them and how they were responding. Some people in the crowd were like the hard path. Jesus was scattering his teaching to everyone that was there. But in their case, it fell on deaf ears. They heard the words, but they did not understand the meaning. And the evil one plucked it out of their mind as soon as it landed. And for us, the reality is that the devil is actively invested in preventing the gospel being understood and taking root in your life. Be aware. If you feel the word of God is not landing in your heart, take the warning of Isaiah 6 that we read. Is your heart too calloused to hear? Are your ears too numb to hit? Are your ears numb to the sound of the gospel? Have you heard it preached to death? Does it no longer have any effect on you? Well, Nathan's parable flew under King David's radar, and it shocked him to the realization that he was guilty before God. In the same way, let Jesus' parable subvert your religious defenses. If you hear his voice, unblock your ears, open your eyes, receive the good news of complete forgiveness for your guilt in Jesus. Turn and come to him. Some people in the crowd were like the rocky ground. The excitement of this miracle-working teacher was enough for them to follow him from one town to another. But by the time this teacher was hanging on a cross in Jerusalem, they had all withered away. Theirs was a false response to Jesus' kingdom. For this type of person, when trouble or persecution comes, they show themselves to be shallow followers with no depth of soil. The root hits the rock and can grow no further. The whole plant withers and dies. Does that describe you this morning? I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone. Are there rocks in your heart? Does the word of God have space to move and influence every corner of your life? Or is your Christianity a shallow, surface level observance? Here again, verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have or does not accept with an open heart towards the word of God, even what little understanding of the kingdom you have will be taken. It will be no good to you. Do you dabble with the Bible? Read it and put it down without it changing you? What parts of your life are blocking? You're blocking the Bible from affecting or having influence? What are you holding back in your life, like stones in the soil blocking the reach of God's word into your life? We can all have non-negotiables, can't we? Immovable rocks below the surface. Plans that we've always had. Where I want to live. How much money I want to earn. The circumstances I've worked so hard to get to. My ideal. But perhaps God is encroaching on your plans. Stop obstructing the Holy Spirit's work through the Word of God. Let his roots spread into every part of your life. You might have private sins that no one else sees, but they cripple your walk with God. Let the Word of God penetrate the darkest corners of your heart. Repent as King David did. Seek God's forgiveness, his power to wash you clean and to redeem your brokenness. The secret of the kingdom of heaven is that it's all or nothing. Troubles and hardships are simply part of the Christian life, this side of heaven. So let's dig out and throw off every rock that hinders us and run with perseverance. Whoever understands Jesus' kingdom in this way will be given more. They will have an abundance. Some people in the crowd were like a patch of ground with a mix of seeds and good grains and weeds, the thorns. Like the seed that fell on rocky soil, the early excitement of following Jesus, well, it was compromised, wasn't it? Not because they did not understand the message, the roots were free to go down deep. The plant just didn't grow to maturity. The plant grown from the good seed had to compete with weeds for nutrients from the soil and space for daylight above. The growth of God's word in those people had to compete with other priorities. Worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth restricted the word of God growing in that person to maturity. And the exclusiveness of following Jesus was too much to ask. For those people, the cost of discipleship was too high. What about you? Is your spiritual life choked? Are the legitimate worries of this life weighing you down so much that you no longer rejoice in the hidden realities of God's kingdom? Sufferings and troubles are sent by God to refine our faith and to grow us to maturity. We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope in this unseen kingdom of God does not put us to shame. Is your phone or your entertainment habits distracting you from growing spiritually? Do you study God's word and grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Bible? Money is so deceptive. Isn't it? Even if you think you're not wealthy or extravagant, is your obsession with not spending money limiting God's kingdom growing in you and overflowing in generosity towards others? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, the same account of the sower talks about the seed that fell among these thorns of life. That it says it does not mature. Alistair Begg writes, when the word of God is preached Sunday after Sunday, and some people in the congregation grow and mature, while others do not, it speaks to the soil and not to the seed. The true disciples of Jesus were like good soil. They heard and understood the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And how did they respond to Jesus' teaching? Well, the seeds of Jesus' words were received into their hearts. They grew in their knowledge and understanding of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they multiplied. Before he retired, my dad was a soil scientist. He could analyze the condition of the land. He would speak to farmers about how to manage their fields and how to keep the right nutrients in the soil and keeping the field's conditions right for long-term health of the soil and sustained growth year after year. This parable is a bit like that. It analyzes the different soil conditions in people's hearts. Well, how is God's word received in your heart? What is the soil condition of your heart? Will the seed of God's word be free to root into the good soil in your heart? And will it multiply? James in the New Testament draws out this idea when he says, humbly or meekly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. And do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. I'm so excited about the potential of good soil in this church. The kingdom of heaven is growing in the lives of the disciples in Westside. The word of God planted in your heart. And we all find ways of bringing the word of God into our lives. Perhaps we memorize it. Perhaps we have it on our phone every day. Perhaps we call it to mind as we study, as we are reminded of God's word. And doesn't this overflow in our speech? And even when we have God's word on our lips, even just paraphrasing or speaking God's truth to people's lives, they're like seeds being spread, ideas being planted in the minds of those around us. And that's what's so wonderful about the word of God and this image of seeds and growing and bearing fruit is that it's spreading out, it's multiplying through us. As we root down into God's word, we will naturally also spread it around our lives and those around us. But also, it's not just in words, it's not just in the words that we say, but it's also in obedience. If we let the word of God penetrate deep down into good soil, into our thought lives, into our public life, in what we do, how we act, we have the simple desire to please him, to live our lives according to his word. And it's wonderful. How does that come out? Sometimes it can be just in the simple open step of obedience like baptism. Perhaps it's in the simple keeping a one day in a week holy, separate, where we don't work, where we spend time focusing on him as he has instructed in his word. Perhaps it's through hospitality shown to strangers and neighbors because we are rooted in God's word. Perhaps it's through being committed to a local church family. Perhaps it bears fruit in how we direct and channel our life's ambitions. They're different from the kingdom of this world, to acquire and to get possessions and to make progress. We set our life's goals not on this world, but we ambitiously live for the kingdom of heaven, this side of eternity, breaking free from weeds that choke and clearing out the rocks, the seed having rooted and grown and produced crops of more seeds, is sharing the gospel and spreading the news of the kingdom, sharing these secrets of the kingdom of God. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Next week, we're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. So today we were thinking about if we receive and accept the word of God, that's understanding the word of God and how we accept it. And next week, we're going to be looking at what does kingdom growth look like in a mustard seed and in some yeast in a dough. So let's take time and sing together before we close. Number 1282, hear the call of the kingdom. King of heaven, we will answer the call. Number 1282.